I'm Liza.
I'm Riss.
And this is the Little Sleep.
Much Reading Podcast.
Finally, from so little sleeping and so much reading, his brain dried up and he went completely out of his mind.
I thought you were gonna crunch that pretzel just now. I can't even hear you crunching it.
Really? That's
I think
crazy.
your microphone like tunes out non-voice sounds.
I wonder if I can try to turn it up and make you hear it. Let's see.
Do ASMR.
You hear it?
Nothing.
Oh God, it's
No.
crazy.
Good quality microphone.
Thanks, Amazon.
But you need to get a new one if you are ever going to do ASMR.
Yeah.
What are we doing today?
Dancing.
Yeah, maybe when I'm dancing.
We're talking about some silly little books that are actually not silly and actually not little.
Not little, not silly. Very much giving me depression, but in a way that I like. And that's the damn tea of it all. That is my favorite thing is monsters.
Delicious.
I had no idea this took place in the 1960s. And so when I started reading it, I thought it was modern. And then I was like, wait a damn second. And it took me like a few minutes to piece together that I was just so wrong.
Yeah.
So that's fun, crazy plot twist.
How was your experience of reading a graphic novel on Kindle?
It was fine. I'm a little sad because I just went to look at it on my laptop. And obviously, the Kindle's all in black and white. And I kind of thought the whole book was in black and white. She is very much not in black and white. So
Mm-mm.
I kind of wish I had got to experience it with the full colors. But I mean, I own it now on digital, so I can go and look at all the colors now. But I will say this book. For people who don't know, it's not structured exactly like a typical graphic novel. Like it's like structured like a kid's notebook. So the writing is like not the way you expect graphic novel writing to be necessarily. So I will say it is difficult to read on a Kindle because you have to zoom in and out of the little words. Because like this book, like there's so many words scattered across different pages, like parts of the page, that it's definitely like I feel like for people who want to read it, and I feel like people should read it, I think you're better off buying the paper copy.
It's expensive, but it's worth it.
Exactly. Like, if I could do it over again, I would buy the paper copy. And honestly, like, I won't be buying it now because I'd have to trek it all the way back to the United States at some point. But like, it's a book I would add to my collection. I've read it before. I would pick up now volumes one and two as actual books.
I think it's a must-have.
Yeah.
I think
It
this
was.
is the best graphic novel I've ever read.
Yeah. And I typically don't like graphic novels very much. So that says a lot for me to be like, I really like this. How did you find the second one in comparison to the first?
I definitely liked the first one better. I'm still kind of confused on if the second one actually ended things or not. Because I feel like she was trying to make it like an end, but I'm like, there's still so much that was like left unresolved. So don't know, but it was like so beautiful, and there were so many points where I was just like taking pictures of things and just sending them to Nick.
Yeah. I know that's the one bummer too, is that I had bookmarked a bunch of pages so that we could like talk about them together, because there were so many moments where I was just like really struck by either an image or the writing. And I didn't realize that when you put a new bookmark in the Kindle, it gets rid of the old bookmark.
That's stupid.
And I, you know, like you can highlight and make notes in novels, but it you couldn't really do that with this. So that's why I was doing mark instead. So then I lost all the pages that I wanted to talk to you about.
That's horrible.
And like I remember, like I honestly don't remember some of the like words and stuff that I really like passages. But I remember one was the one I texted you about, which is when the, I mean, honestly, should we do spoilers or not?
It's up to you. Doesn't matter.
Well, you can bleep this out, I guess. But when the mom dies,
Yeah.
that just hit me so hard. Like, and I think another thing I had bookmarked was I just loved the drawing of the little fucking bunny the first time you meet him.
Yeah.
And he says something, like he doesn't say anything, obviously, but like Karen has him like having a thought bubble. And he's like thinking something really funny. I just love, and it's his name is so funny too. What's it? Is it Rodney? What's his
Don't remember,
name?
but he does come back in the second one, so I'm like, what's his name?
Raymond.
Raymond, that is his
I
name.
love Raymond. He's everything to me. Also, to tell you the tea about it, is I had no clue this was like a World War II book. And I was like, this is crazy.
Well, it's cool because I follow Emile Ferris on Twitter, and she's very much like a big social justice person,
Yeah.
like nonstop. And so it's interesting to see her tackle so many things in a book. Like I feel like not only is she tackling World War II, but there's also 1960 Chicago. There's
Yes.
also some LGBTQ plus stuff in it. There's also like class structure in this. There's
Race in a big way.
economic stuff. There's race. Like there's so much packed into this book, but it all works together so well. And like, I don't know, sometimes I read a book and I'm like, this is trying to focus on this one thing so much that none of the other stuff is coming through. But like with this, I'm like, she focused on so much through a child's perspective, and it
Yes.
feels so cohesive, and it makes it feel real. Like it feels like real life because that is real life.
Right. And I love like the idea of it being my favorite thing is monsters, because all the people that she talks about are not monsters in the sense that you think. They're not bad. They're all very nuanced, good at heart people. And I think the monster aspect of it is that we are all kind of monsters. And I loved that. And I love that she drew different people as like the classic monsters, because that was the way Karen was viewing them. Like she was like, I'm different from everybody else, but these people who I care about are different too. And she like then makes them like her brother obviously resembled, like I feel like Dracula. She resembles a werewolf, and then her friend who's African American, she draws him as like Frankenstein. Like, I just thought that was so cool.
Which is more explained in the second one.
Oh, it is he in the second one more? Okay, slay.
And this isn't really a spoiler, but in the second one, her brother Deez is actually like, she starts portraying him a little bit as Mothman, which I was like, yeah, my little guy.
Honestly, how do you feel about these?
I think that he does genuinely have Karen's best interest.
Yeah.
And I think that he is a nice guy. I just think that he's fallen into situations from circumstance. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's exactly how I feel. I feel like I asked because I was like, wow, he's one of the most complicated characters I've ever encountered. And I do like him a lot, but also there's things about him that are not good, you know? And I just feel like it's especially interesting because, of course, that's how a little girl is gonna see her brother because kids see things so much clearer than we do, but they also are so much more forgiving than we are. And so it was just really interesting to see a figure like Dee's depicted through Karen's eyes. Also, I've yet to see, this is one of the first books I've seen that humanizes sex workers in such a beautiful way.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I feel like even when books are trying to like humanize, like, sex workers, sometimes they still fetishize sex workers in a weird way. They're like, I don't really know why you're doing this, but I didn't get that vibe from this at all. I thought that was really cool.
I don't know. I just think that like Emile Ferris is like such like she's probably so amazing. Like I
I
just want to meet
know.
her and be her best friend because she seems
Me too.
so nice, so kind, so understanding. She's incredibly talented. Like incredibly.
Yes. I know her writing and her drawing and her world building is crazy.
She has so many. She has so many different characters who think differently.
Yes.
Feel like she gets her point across more because she's having other perspectives in there that she necessarily probably doesn't agree with, but it's still in
Right.
there. Even if it's outlandish and crazy and bizarre, like she has it in
Right.
there. And then the two characters bounce back and forth, and that creates something. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes, I know exactly what you mean. And I don't know, her art style is so clever, and I think if we had been visual artists, we'd probably understand even more of it. Because like I was just looking, like sometimes her pictures are really realistic and sometimes they're very cartoonish. And I think those come at times where that's clearly supposed to be making a statement. Like I just flipped and it was like the one where Deez is like, look at yourself in the mirror, Karen, you're a girl. You're not a monster. And it's one of the most realistic pictures in the book. And I think that's just really interesting. And I'm like, that's the other reason I want a paper copy because it's like, I want to flip back through and kind of see what the patterns and stuff are and like, drawn is. Because why do I also feel like the scenes that are in the past, as like she's trying to unfold the mystery, are like those are more realistic as well. And then like the real world, which we're not hearing through the tapes, are cartoonish.
I think something definitely happens when, I think that there's like a weird, I guess not weird, but I definitely think that there's some kind of switch in perspective from the
Yeah.
tapes because even though Karen is listening and she's drawing what she's hearing it from, what was that lady's name? Was it Anya?
Yes.
She's hearing it from Anya's point of view.
Right.
So I think that that changes things a lot, and that's why the style is different. There's this beautiful page in the second one where it's all like hair together.
Ooh. Wait,
Can you see
that's
it?
yes. Wait, I
It's
love.
beautiful, and it's just hair.
Is the second book, because we talked about this, how like this ended on a cliffhanger. And you obviously read this years ago and like, what the hell? But then now you say, oh, I actually don't even know if she fully wrapped it up this time. But do you feel like, did the second book solve most of the things you wanted to be solved?
No.
Interesting. Okay.
No, it didn't. I feel like it tried to hint at a lot of things, so I feel like I'm supposed to be like, yeah, that was solved, but like, I don't know. It just didn't do, I guess, yes, in a way it did. In a very subtle way, it solved the things that I wanted it to, but not like for the buildup it was, maybe not enough.
Right,
Like some of
sure.
it I think is obvious. Like some of it I was like, okay, good, that's what I thought was happening.
Right.
I do think, I don't really remember, like I remember that one being pretty sad, but I don't remember it being graphic.
No, it was, it never was. It was just sad, and like, obviously, there's like pedophiles and like murder and rapists, but it none of it was graphically shown, if that makes sense.
I think that this one was quite a bit more graphic.
Interesting.
Specifically with like Anya's tapes and like she literally, yeah, there's just some very graphic parts.
Yeah.
Like blood is drawn on the page.
Yeah,
You
like
know?
I could definitely see that happening. Like you, I think you see it a little bit in this one with the when her the lady that takes care of her at the brothel, she's killed. And then obviously all the like horror, like the horror magazines, but like that's not real. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Right, and I also feel like that's not. It's graphic in like a different way, you know?
exactly. Which I did love those, by the way. Like the every few pages there would be the cover of a different horror magazine.
Yeah, me too.
And I also think art being such a big part of Karen and her brother and also her friend. Who's what's the guy's name? The Frankenstein guy.
Frank.
It's just Frank.
Yeah.
That's
I'm
so
pretty sure it's
funny.
like Francois.
Yes. And art is such a big part of his life too, that I love the scenes where she recreates real art.
Yes.
I love those. Those are some of
That
my favorite.
continues in this one, so that one's really fun.
Ugh. Oh my God, love that. She's
Yeah.
such a good artist. Like, she's so good.
Oh, she's amazing. I think he actually asked to be called something else in this book. But I can't remember what it is.
Is her little girlfriend in this one too?
He gets a different little girlfriend.
Because the other one kind of like wasn't as supportive. Because like there was that scene
And
where I
you'll
was like,
find out why.
period. Because there was that whole scene where her mom was like, don't hang around her. And I was like,
Yeah.
interesting indeed.
No, his name was Franklin. Maybe this is where he asked to go by. I don't know.
There's, yeah, this book has some sad shit in it.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. But it's necessary. One thing I was curious about, Lassa, is like, I feel like we're at a point in society where like
Yeah.
so much about the Holocaust has come out. So many things
Yeah.
have been written about it, and like we all pretty much have an idea, I hope, of like what happened and whatever.
Yes.
So like when people continue to write about the Holocaust, do you think it's necessary for it to be violent and graphic, or do you think that's unnecessary? Because like we already know what happened, so why do you have to like show things? You know what I mean?
I agree, and I think there's this really fine line, and this occurs when we're talking about any sort of horrific historical event where you're like, okay, are you making this a spectacle, or are you just trying to be realistic? And that's the whole discourse comes about, I feel like, often when you talk about like slave narratives, and you're like, okay, you're just making this a spectacle, like you're making trauma porn at a certain point, and you don't want to keep subjecting Black people to having to view that and experience that over and over and over again. And I feel like I personally would feel a similar way about the Holocaust. Like, it's like there's a point where you're just making a spectacle out of it, and it's and you're almost making it entertainment. And that's weird. And that's what I feel like. I don't know what your thought, I'd love to hear your thoughts about the portrayal of it in these books. But the reason I was like okay with it here, and like we just said, the first book is obviously less graphic potentially than the second book, but it brought an entirely new perspective to it in a way. Like, obviously she was Jewish, like it wasn't bringing like a queer person ex or like a Romani person's experience in the camps or whatever, but like it was a different ex a perspective than I feel like you see in a lot of other narratives. And it showed you things that you don't see in a lot. Like, the part that stuck with me the most from this first book is when they're on the train. And I feel like you do see that in some others, but like the way that she described it and then the way Karen's envisioning it happening, I felt like even though it was very upsetting to see and to read about, it was worthwhile. But now I'm like, I guess my question becomes, in the second book, do you think it becomes sort of the more exploitative in a way?
No,
Okay.
I wouldn't say that. I was just curious. Because I mean it does have, like I said, it is graphic and it does have those moments in it, but I don't know. I don't necessarily think, I think it's necessary for the plot.
Yes.
And again, like you said, like Karen loves all these people who necessarily like aren't always great people. And I think I like that instead of being like, oh yeah, like this is a Nazi and this is how like they're a good person but they're not a good person. It's like, no, this is like a person who was in the camp who like was dealing with everything at this time, who had all of these other things to deal with, and these are the good and bad decisions that they made.
Right.
I think that like that's a good way to show that. You know what I
Right.
mean? Because you could have went the complete other way, and thankfully, she didn't.
Right. Yes. 100%. Yeah, it's interesting. And I think I like to that, okay, she balanced it with pre-war and then also present day, assassination of Martin Luther King, Vietnam, assassination of JFK, like all these, like she linked these events together in a way that was really interesting. And that it does add a lot of perspective to it, because I feel like people seem to think that people who lived in the time of the Holocaust are completely separate time period than those that lived during the time of the Vietnam War. It's like, no, these are the same people. Like, people could have quite literally escaped from Europe, got into an America, and then 30 years later were in the civil rights movement. And that did happen. We know it did. That a lot of Jewish Americans and African Americans like experience these two same things together at the same time. So that's another way that I feel like this book is a really, it's kind of a really important piece of literature slash media in a way
Yeah.
because of that, you know?
And
It's kind of
again, for it
cool.
to take place. And I also think we talked about this a couple weeks ago when I read Mayfly, how I was like, there's so many things on New York City, but like, where are those other pieces that like make you feel a city about other cities? And I think that this is a great one to be like, this is Chicago. You know what I mean? This feels like Chicago. Even like when they're walking, the things in the background, that's Chicago. I just think that's so great. And to be like, yeah, this is Chicago 1960s. These are all the things that are happening together. Like, that's how you make a place.
Yes. I also think it's quite cool that Karen's like Latina, but also her mother, there's this really beautiful scene where she's describing what her mother looks like, and that she's half Irish, half Cherokee. And she says something along the lines of like her eyes being like Dublin fog, but then mixed with like the same, like the I can't remember the exact words. I'll see if I can find it. But like I just thought that was gorgeous, and like I feel like she just captured how people are an amalgamation of so many different cultures. For Karen alone, like I just thought that was so cool, and that's giving very Chicago as well. That like everybody. That's the coolest thing about these big cities in the United States is like everybody's a little bit of everything, you know? And I just thought that was cool.
Yeah, and I also think like going back to again what we were talking about before about how people are monsters. Karen's mom is a great example of someone who's like super religious, super like 1960s mom. You know what I mean? Like she's very like image presenting, if that makes sense. And she has her own ways and how she thinks about things. And to put someone like that in the book and for Karen to be like, well, I love my mom. She's great. She's a wonderful person. And I think Karen's mom was a wonderful person. But that doesn't mean that they agree.
And the religion that Karen was raised in comes to her in a very different way than it comes to her mom, and then it comes to Dee's. But there's religious iconography throughout the entirety of the book. Like there's one point where I think like the Virgin Mary look even presents herself to Karen like as a wolf, as a werewolf kind of. And I was like, this is lit. Like I was like, this is so cool. And so yeah, it's just interesting that like, yeah, the mother wasn't like demonized for that, for being that way at all. Like,
No.
yeah.
What class did we have to read this for?
Me?
I thought I was in
You?
class with you. No.
I had to look at pictures of it from, I had to look at excerpts from it from a for a class called Another Earth, which was a world building class. But you maybe had to read it for something else. Because you weren't in that class with me, I don't think.
I thought Sam made me read it.
Oh, maybe she did. But was it in Sam's class? Which Sam class would it have been?
It was senior year.
So it would have been the Ghosts in the Machine class? I always had thought I had to look at excerpts from it for Another Earth. Maybe it was that, but then again, I didn't read the whole thing. Like I literally just looked up at, like I ended up finding like samples online of it, and that's why I didn't really know the plot.
Yeah, I read the whole thing.
And you slayed.
You know what? I was right for that.
You were right for that, and I
It's
was
so
wrong for
good.
that.
It's so good. It's so devastating.
No, it literally is.
And again, like from the perspective of a child, it's so It takes all of that like whimsy and imagination into perspective with like a very scary world.
Yes. Also, I found the spot that I wanted. It says Mama is one half Irish from Appalachia and part American Indian from who knows where. She calls herself a hillbilly gypsy. Her gray eyes are like a combination of Dublin fog and smoke from peace pipes. I
Beautiful.
love that. And then there's this whole image where she's like, in her left eye, there's a patch of deep green that I call Green Island. I wade through the grayness until I reach the Green Island in Mama's eye. It's covered with shrubs and trees, and it smells like earth. It's like my mother made a place on Green Island for everything I am, even the secret things. And I lay down in a soft bed of moss and fall asleep underneath the really tall pine tree. Hello?
What a way to love your mom, you
What a
know?
way to. This book is, yes. Also, I remembered too when I was trying to flip back and find this. She doesn't ever really draw her mom as any of her monsters. But her dad, she at one point calls the Invisible Man and she draws him as the Invisible Man with glasses. And I thought that was really funny.
That's exactly him.
That he is the. But like her mom is always very much a human, I feel like.
Until like the end.
Yes, because then it's like she's sick. What is she? She has like cancer or something, you
I
think?
think so, yeah.
Because they don't really say. Also, unrelated, but like Anya's much older than Dee's.
I definitely think so.
So why were they hooking up is my question, but that's fine.
He's
I
hooking up
think,
with everyone everywhere.
literally, and I think he's much older than Karen, even though they have the same dad.
I think that he's like 14 years older than her.
Yeah. And what is she, like 12, 15? How old is she supposed to be?
Think she's like 11. And yeah,
11.
I think so.
Yeah. So he's in his like 20s. But yeah, that was the only thing I was like, what's. I was confused for a second about, like, that's why I was so confused about the time period. But I think that was just me being like, not closed-minded isn't the right word. But I was like, wait, is this closer to the 40s than I thought? But it is supposed to be the 60s. So
She's 10, according to this article.
she's 10. She is wise beyond her years.
Yeah, she is. Anka, that's her name.
Anka, yes. Girl, if Karen is 10, I'm fucking 75.
I
Like,
know. She's so, there are so many points where I just want to like cry on the page. 'Cause
yeah.
it's beautiful.
Yes. And like another spoiler, I guess, but like another really tragic scene is when like Anka's friend at the like children's brothel, essentially is what it is, gets like, I think she gets stabbed by like a bat, like a John, I'm guessing. That scene was so sad too.
Yeah.
And it's just weird because it's like, I don't know, it's just so complicated. Because then that creepy ass pedophile man like does save Anka in a way.
Right.
And he saves her from being gassed too with the letter of recommendation. But it's like he's obviously evil, you know? But at the same time, you're like, it's just, she really, for a book about monsters, she really hits the nail on the head that everybody's human.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish that there was a little bit more. I don't know if this is true, but I read that she's supposed to be making a prequel,
Oh,
which
interesting.
I'm like, don't make a prequel, make a friggin' third book because now I need to
Exactly.
know more. I guess that like so the original one came out in like 2017. And book two was supposed to come out in maybe 2021, and it didn't because I guess Emile Ferris had a falling out with the publishing company and didn't want to write her second book for them. And then they got in a big argument because she was contracted to write two books and she was sued, and it's like a whole thing. So I think that her, I think that if she writes another one, it should come out much sooner.
Yeah, good.
And it's gonna be with someone else, apparently.
Do you have any favorite parts from the new book that you could read without spoilers, like I just did about the mom's eyes?
Yeah. There's a part where they go to the art museum. Oh, there's also a part where she's on the train. She's on the L. Is she on the L? I don't know, my dude, but she's on a train. And Deez is like, why don't you just start a notebook where you just draw a whole bunch of people? So she starts like drawing people on the train.
Yeah.
And like even like sometimes their conversations are like, this guy's like, hey kid, you drawing me? Don't worry, it's cool. And then there's just these like single pages of just people.
Wait, I love that.
It's like, again, it's like so beautiful. It like almost makes me want to cry. It's like very, it's like such a beautiful like ode to Chicago. It really, really is.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's also this other part where they go to the art museum and she learns about, she learns about Judith, that lady from history. I'm a jerk because I don't know any of this. That lady from history who like killed she like went and like had sex with that guy so that she can murder him so that she would like free her city.
Oh, yes.
So she learns about
Well,
her, yeah, and like draws her like a couple different ways, and then also like puts herself in the art, which is beautiful.
yeah.
And like that whole conversation with Judith stemmed from a Picasso painting of what looks like a woman getting raped by a minotaur,
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
and how like Deez is like, this is like such a sexy painting. Yeah, and Karen's like, but how do you think I feel when you say that, and how do you think that makes me feel? And
Yeah.
they have like a beautiful like conversation about art and like what that means in art, and like what it means for women to constantly be portrayed as that. And then he takes her over and is like, well, what about Judith? Like, she's completely nude, but the focus isn't on that. The focus is on what she did. You know what I mean? And I feel
Right.
like that was like a good, don't know. Like, I know Karen's not real, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, stick it to your brother. You know what I mean?
No, literally, that's so cool.
But yeah, I thought that that part was really, really good. And I think that it like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like the art scenes feel like nothing, but then you get to the end of the book and you're like, oh, that's how Karen internalized it, and this is what it means for her.
Right.
And she meets Shelley.
Oh
Which I'm like, is her
my God,
name
I'm
Shelley
obsessed.
as in like Mary Shelley, or do you think it's Shelley as in Shelley Duvall? Because she kind of looks like Shelley Duvall.
She
So
does. Maybe it's both.
it could be both. An absolute slay. And also, like, you can just flip to any random page and look at the artwork, and it's just lines. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Also, now that I'm looking at it, the graphic parts are drawn a lot more cartoony.
Oh, interest. That is interesting.
Yeah, and I'm like, maybe that's a great call, actually.
No, and that has to be purposeful, you know?
There's also like parts of Deez's memories in this that are also very cartoonish.
Interesting.
Also, don't you love her little I don't know what his name, Blemmy, don't you love her little toy that's like a cut off
Yes,
head?
that is too cute.
Yeah, love it. So yeah.
What a fun time.
I love these books so much. I think that they're amazing.
I know, I'm like, I might actually not even read the second one soon. Like, I might wait till I can get a copy because I think it'll be better.
I think you have to.
Yeah.
Because it really feels like you're just like reading Karen's notebook in a way.
Right. And you can sit with the images for longer, I think, too, when it's not on a Kindle. Like,
Yeah.
I think that would just be cooler.
Who's your favorite character?
That's so hard. That's so hard.
It's hard not to say Karen. You know what I mean?
No, that's what I mean. I was like, why? I feel like I want to say Karen, but I feel like that's like a cop out. I do really like Frank a lot.
Yeah.
And I really like that bunny.
Raymond, yes.
And I really like Raymond. And like I said, I like Deez. I know he's a complex character, but like I'm very intrigued by him.
Right.
You know? Who's
Absolutely.
yours?
I don't know.
Yeah, see, it's hard. It's difficult.
I like Karen. I like Karen's little friend too. What's her name? Sandy. I like Sandy.
I like Sandy.
But I don't know. There's just something about Karen and the way that she sees the world that I'm like, I don't know how I could like not pick her.
I know. I love her. Also, like, pretty different, but she does kind of remind me of you in a way. Like, I feel like you kind of would have been like that a little bit when you were 10.
I was a menace when I was 10.
You were a menace to society,
I
and
was a
I didn't
menace.
know that about you. But I also feel like you're very, like, intuitive. Is that the right word? Or inquisitive in the same way she is. I also wonder if later in Karen's life she'll end up being non-binary.
You think?
Don't you think that Karen kind of has that vibe?
Yeah, definitely.
Karen has a she they vibe going on. Also can't believe her name is Karen.
Kind of love it.
I do too. It's just like so funny. It's so 1960s though, too, of course, you know?
Yeah, definitely. What did you think about the cliffhanger? Were you like,
Yeah, I gasped. The gasp that I gasped. And then I was like hoping there was more book, but I knew there wasn't. So I was like tapping away at my Kindle and I was like, no. And like, I knew you had said there was a cliffhanger. And like, I believed you, but I didn't think it was going to be that heavy of a cliffhanger. I was like, girl, what?
It's also just so interesting how, like, and I think this was like amazingly done. She gave us a cliffhanger that had really like very little prior buildup. Like it was a complete shock. And I think that that was
Right. It was
amazing. Like
out
that
of the
worked really
fucking
well for her.
blue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Such a cool book, such a cool series now.
And now you understand where I was like, I need the next one.
I know. I so get it. I so get it. I know, because part of me wants to ask you what happens, but at the same time, I want to wait, you know?
Can't tell you.
Keep it a secret. Is that all she wrote? On the, as in, is that all we wrote? Do we have any other tea?
Everyone has to read this immediately.
Well, yes. It's worth it. It's worth the space on your bookshelf and the money in your pocket.
Yeah, go tweet or text, not text, email Emile Ferris and tell her how much you love her book.
Exactly. She deserves it.
I'm also pretty sure that she like was paralyzed for a while or something and like couldn't draw.
Weird.
And I think that's why she started making the first book.
No shit. That's crazy. I know. Now I want to look into her life more. She's so interesting.
Let's go
And
meet
she's
her.
young. Let's go meet her. She's young too, right? Like, she's not like from the 60s. Or is she?
Think she kind of is.
Let me look her up.
Yeah, tell us when her birthday is.
Hello? Why did I think she was young? I think you're totally right.
Because she's so with it
Slay.
and aware, yes, and slay.
Exactly. Yeah, she was born in 1962.
There you go.
That's insane.
Don't you think she's beautiful too?
Yes, gorgeous. Stunned.
Yeah, I think she's great.
Yeah, she's cool. I like her vibe. I like her vibe a lot. How fun.
Yay.
What's the tea for next week?
Next week, we're going to be reading young reader books.
Party. Party, party. What are you reading?
I have to look who it's by. I'm reading, The Whisper Wicks, The Labyrinth of Lost and Found by Jordan Lees.
Period. Did you say it's the cafe book? What? No, what did you say it was?
It's Barnes and Noble's monthly pick.
Oh, cool. For young readers.
Yes, and I have
Yeah.
had multiple people be like, Marissa, you need to read this. Like, it's a kid's book, but it's so dark and creepy. It's like very like Coraline-esque.
We had some technical difficulties this week. Sorry for the late post. But towards the end here, we got cut off. So Liza read The Last Rewitch for this upcoming week. And Marissa read The Whisper Wicks. And that's all she wrote. We will see you in the next episode, which is Young Readers.